Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Gelsnet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast by fans for fans, where all the content is absolutely free. Coming to you in association with Forest Precision. As always, we'd encourage you to get onto the Gelsnet website and check out our forums for all your latest Rangers news and discussion. We're live tonight on the YouTube channel, and we'd ask that you continue to share the podcast on social media, spread the word, and please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Before I introduce my guest for tonight, I need to give another mention to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a Glasgow-based engineering company who have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for a number of years, and we're delighted to have them supporting the podcast. If you want more information about them, please visit their website at www.forestprecisionenge.com. They also have a stunning executive lounge in the Ibrox main stand, and for more information on that, email the club at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Right, now to bring in my guest joining me tonight is Jamie Martin. Jamie, how are you doing?
Very well. Could have been good, a perfect good, Sunday good. Again. That's a nice Easter Sunday, but I was hoping on another wee slip up from the green half of Glasgow, but it never perspired to go our way, but hearts slipping up, which I kind of expected in the last few games here. The bubble's buster. I think we're going to take advantage of this, mate.
I hope you're right. We almost got the perfect Easter Sunday, almost, but yeah, Tars dropping points was definitely a nice wee bonus.
Yeah.
We'll come on to potentially what that means for the overall league title race a bit later, but we'll start off with our game yesterday and the starting 11 that was named. There was a few surprises in there and a few concerns I'd seen online as I was kind of waiting to go into the stadium, was kind of having a look on Twitter, as you do, a few raised eyebrows at that starting 11. Sterling coming in for Tav, Suter in for Fernandez, Nadiri playing up top in his own. Chermiti was only on the bench, and that kind of necessitated a change in formation, going away from the 4-4-2 to more of a 4-2-3-1 type system. Were you concerned by any of those selections?
Concerned about one or two of them. If I'm totally honest, I was really surprised it's John Suter coming in, given the fact the defence have been excellent in the last few games. Also, Olsen. Those two, for me, I just raised eyebrows straight away. I was like, oof, what are they two doing starting? Because we've been playing really well of recent times. And, you know, we've not been leaking many goals defensively, really, in the last month. We look to be more solid. I know we missed Romans today at left-back, who's been immense since he came to the club, to be fair. And Fernandez. I don't think there's an injury there, what I hear. I think it's just a case of his resting players. I think what he's done there is he's looked at who's played in international duty. I mean, Chermiti played for the Portuguese team and scored for them. Needs to score for us a bit more, but we'll talk about that as we go on. And I think there's a few other players, obviously, international duty. So I think he's looked at that and thought, I need to rotate here. But I was surprised at Suter and Olsen starting, to be fair. I didn't expect that at all. Given the fact that the last game we really won. I didn't think he would change much, to be honest, but he changed the system as well. As you said there, he's been going with this kind of, what he's been going with is a 4-2-2-2 of recent times, probably the last couple of months he's been going with that, which for me, it works out a conventional 4-4-2, really. But he went with the 4-2-3-1 today, so it was obviously Butland in goal, Sterling at right back, replacing Tav as well, which was a wee bit of a surprise because Tav really played well in the last game. Scored a cracking free kick against Aberdeen. They've been playing well. But what I think he's doing with him, I think he's managing Tav now. I think he realises he's 34 years old. Can he play 2 to 3 games a week? Probably not. So I think this is where Sterling is getting used and Tav's getting used a bit more sparingly in terms of the game time. Every week, so to speak. So I don't anticipate Tav to start every game. Sterling for me is a better defensive right back, without question. He defends better. He doesn't give you as much going forward. However, he notched a goal today, so you know he's maybe working in that part of his game. And then obviously Suter. Suter, for me, when he came back into the side, which would be a couple of months ago, he looked a lot leaner. He'd been out injured again, which is a major problem for John Suter. And we can touch base on that as to why I think I would move him on personally. He came into the side, he looked a lot leaner, he looked as if he'd lost a lot of weight, and he looked as if, you know, he'd really was excelling at centre back again for a few games. Three or four games, he looked, oh God, he looks a lot sharper, winning tackles, winning his headers. Then all of a sudden he gets his deal over the line. He's got his new contract. Now, whether that's anything to do with it, but I'm a great believer. I mean, when players get their contract, they kind of, I'm not saying he's going to down tools, but he's more relaxed in his game and thinking, I've got my deal now. I don't really need to go out there and give him all. That's my personal opinion. So, John Suter for me, not for me. Fernandez and De Giga have been outstanding of recent times. That would be my two pairing at this moment in time. Obviously, if Romans comes back fit, he's definitely the left back. Then he played Raskin and Chikwane sitting in front of the back four with Scott Olsen on the right-hand side. Asgard came into the team as well last couple of games. To be fair, he done well today. And Mikey Moore, who would always start for us anyway. And Nadiri up front was, I have to say, a wee bit of a surprise in my eyes as well. I don't think he's really hit the ground running. He does a lot of selfish work, running off the ball, closing down. And to be honest, I was pleased for him to get on the goal sheet today because he scored his opening goal in, I think it was Queen's Park in the Cup game. And he's not really had much success in front of goal since then. He's done a lot of the ugly work for being a foil with Chimiti and stuff. But yeah, there was one or two surprises in that set up, but the system, I'm not sure if it works personally. I still think we're really struggling on the right hand side of midfield. Kasama come on made a wee bit of a difference, to be fair, but yeah, that for me, the two that I would have questioned, going back to your original question, I know I was rabbiting on a wee bit there, but a lot to talk about, but Suter and Olsen for me, I think if you've got to go and win the league, they can't be starting the games for me. No chance.
Yeah, no, I agree. Danny Rowe had made mention on his Friday press conference about an unnamed injured player that would be out until kind of middle of the split fixtures. I think we kind of discovered with that starting lineup that Romans was that player. There was a lot of disappointment online with that. Obviously, Romans has started well, and he's pretty much a fan favourite now. But one thing I think that's kind of been a bit missed is that we do have a pretty decent backup there now in Magoma. Like, I quite like Magoma. I think he started life, you know, not great at Rangers. He had a difficult start, as did most of the players under Russell Martin. But I'll be honest, I think he's pretty solid left back. So as much as, yes, I think Romans is a miss, I don't think he's maybe as big of a miss as somebody like Fernandez, for example, who could have been the one that, you know, Rowe was referring to when he was talking about injured players. So yeah. I think we've got a pretty decent backup there. Do you think he'll be a big miss, or do you think we've got enough there to cope?
I think Romans will definitely be a miss. It was clearly evident when he came into the side, he just thought, this guy's another level from what we've got. To be fair to Magoma, he's only a young lad, he's 18, and he's on loan. And obviously Rangers have looked at the market, the Scandinavian market and the Belgian market of recent times. And that seems to be the market that we're hitting at the moment. I know Stiggy Bjornby, who's the ex-Liverpool player, is on a 6 months deal with the club. And he's head of recruitment for overseas, basically. And he was the one that spotted Romans and brought him to the club. And for me, he's a great find. I think he'll be a big miss. I do agree with you on what you said there, Brian, in terms of it could have been another position that might have hurt us even more. If that had been a centre-back like Fernandez or De Giga, I'd have been rolling my eyes going, oh no, John Suter's got to play every week now, you know. But however, Magoma is a young lad. I think he's decent on the ball. He's just a bit lightweight in terms of defensive duties for me. But good going forward, nice left foot, can pass the ball. And listen, I think he's got enough about him to cope with what Roman's, if he's out till the middle of the split, I think Magoma's more than capable of stepping in there and doing a job.
Yeah, definitely. Opening 50 minutes, Jamie, I thought were pretty sluggish from Rangers. I didn't think we got going at all, really, but I kind of felt like the crowd were starting to get frustrated quite early. Is this going to be an issue in terms of, you know, for being realistic about it, right? Rangers haven't been in a title race for many a years now. I mean, the 55 season, there wasn't a title race to speak of. You know, that was a cakewalk game in terms of that season. So is there an issue with, I'm kind of thinking, fans, particularly at Ibrox, well, we know it can be a difficult place to play, right? Many players have said it. I think we've all, you know, been to games and experienced how players can shrink under that pressure. But is there a kind of lack of experience amongst fans of being involved in these types of tight title races where we're not always going to come out and blow teams away? We just need to be a bit patient at times.
They definitely need to be more patient, the fans. I was going to have a wee bit of a chuckle there with you, Brian, because I think they were just a bit pissed off because last night was the first time in 2 years that Rangers were sat at the top of the tree. And then they come into that game today and obviously going, oh no, here we go, yesterday. I think they got a bit impatient. But it was nice for us to get to top of the league for the first time in 2 years last night. But getting back to the fans, listen, you make one stray pass at Ibrox, the fans are on your case. That's just the beauty of playing for Glasgow Rangers under that pressure pot. The fans need to definitely be more patient. In my eyes, it doesn't help the players because certain players can brush that aside. There's other players might not handle that stick and take it the wrong way and maybe spit the dummy out. Or they just crumble under the pressure. I've seen it happen with many, and some of them are very good players, but they've never played in that environment before where you're expected to win every week. And if you make a poor pass, or you're not quite running, or you're not quite closing down, or you're not quite making that challenge that you should, the Rangers fans will let you know. They'll not accept it. But I do think at times the fans need to be a little bit more patient. You're only 15 minutes into a game, and you know it takes, sometimes it can take 20 minutes to get a feel for the other team, bearing in mind you're playing another new formation there, and new players coming in, chopping and changing from the last team. So it's not really, the continuity of the team's not great. At this time of the season, I would really like Danny Rowe to have his best 11 on the park every week, and I would stop this rotation system with two or three players every week. Olsen, for me, definitely not cutting it. Not good enough. And the fans definitely need to just get behind the team. See, at the end of the day, Rangers have played poorly in the last couple of games. I think I mentioned this in the last podcast where we played St Mirren. We won an ugly game. We never played well at all. We sneaked a 1-0 win, but it's 3 points at the end of the day. Yesterday was the same, pretty much for the first 20 minutes, half hour. It wasn't a great riveting football. It wasn't fast and furious, and we weren't ripping behind them and getting shots off and goal and, you know, cutting them open with passes and stuff like that. But the second half was a lot better. And I think once we got those couple of goals, the fans kind of eased off and it kind of releases that pressure valve and the players can get time to relax a little bit on possession. But until we get that first goal, the fans kind of need to just to be a little bit more patient.
Yeah. Now, we did get the opening goal. Nadiri kind of taps home from a very good Asgard shot that was saved. But I was quite pleased for the big man, actually, because I felt like he needed that. I feel like you've kind of said before, he does a lot of selfless work, a lot of running off the ball, a lot of closing down. But I felt like he needed a goal just to almost get him off and running. And hopefully that can kind of, you know, he can go on a bit of a run now and start scoring some goals.
Yeah. It was a great bit of footwork with Asgard. I think we're all in agreement here. there's times and glimpses this season where he's scored wonder free kicks. He's got this great half turn. He's got a great touch. His presence, his physicality, his, you know, his awareness is good. His feet, he just walked past that guy 20 yards out. He walked past him as if he wasn't there. Curls a left foot shot, and that was going top bins, and it was actually a decent save. The guy clawed it. And fortunately for Big Nadiri, he's in the right place at the right time, taps it in with his left foot. And that was a classic number nine goal, which we've been lacking. And I was more chuffed for that than anything. I go, do you know what? Rather than see an overhead kick for Chermiti or something like that, we're just lacking a fox in the box that gets these wee tap-ins. And I was pleased for the big fella because he does a lot of selfish work running off the ball. And he does, to be fair to him, he runs his balls off for the team. Yeah. He closes down defenders and he takes a few knocks and he wins most flick-ons, to be fair. He's decent in the air, decent size. He lacks a wee bit of pace. But I was pleased for him to get on the sheet yesterday and hopefully he is on a wee bit of a run. But it'll be interesting to see what Danny Rule does now with international games being over. It's going to be a real eye-opener to see who goes with up front now, because he's got two or three good options, especially with Miowski coming on the sheet yesterday as well. So he's got a wee bit of a headache, Danny Rule, in that sense.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it looks like we've got some good options after kind of, you know, not so long ago, we were kind of willing to sell everybody at one point in the season.
Yeah.
It's funny how these things can change over the course of a season.
Yeah.
We get the second goal. It was another one kind of bundled home. Sterling this time, after some more good work from Asgard, he kind of crossed it in and Olsen get the header and, you know, Sterling was right place, right time. But for me, these are the kind of goals, as you kind of said, we weren't getting these types of goals earlier on in the season, where just somebody being in the right position at the right time to just almost just tap them in. So, and we're doing it at the right time of the season. You know, if you want to find your goal scoring touch, this is the time to do it, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's another classic, what we just spoke about there. Sterling was in the right place at the right time. I don't know what he was doing in the six-yard box, being a right back, to be fair, anyway. But he was in the right place at the right time. And Asgard again, to be fair to him, he's on the left wing, cuts in, puts a decent ball in the box. And it was Olsen, I think.
Yep.
I think the way he's playing at the minute, we'll be claiming an assist on this, by the way. But he actually,
yeah, we'll give him the assist.
He actually goes for a header on the penalty spot, and he heads it straight towards goal, which was absolute powder puff, I must say. And I'm not sure he meant to actually put it in that area, and I don't even think he realised that Sterling was in there. But however, he got lucky. He'll put it down as an assist, I'm sure he will. And Sterling slotted that away in the six-yard box. So, and that kind of eased us up at that time. Going, getting those couple of goals definitely kind of settled us a wee bit and settled the nerves.
Yeah.
Another goal, a good goal to get in terms of the timing of it. And just as I said, it made us relax a bit more on the ball. And the crowd off our back kind of thing.
Yep, now it wouldn't be a Rangers game without some type of a nonsense, and we did see that kind of towards the end of the half, we could see the goal. Now, a few things on this for me. First of all, I'm convinced that was a foul on Mikey Moore in the build-up, and given what we've seen, both, you know, when we've had goals pulled back for fouls in the build-up, I'm thinking Tom Lawrence against Celtic, was it last season? Dessers, another one against Celtic. Even last week against Aberdeen with Barron's handball, where they pulled it back, you know, they went back 3 weeks to find that handball. So I was convinced VAR was going to rule that one out, so I was astounded it didn't get ruled out. Again, even after that, Suter's got to deal with that better. For me, that's really poor defending on Suter's part. And also, before it gets to Suter, Chukwuanyi's got to take the booking in the middle of the park and just bring the boy down. You're minutes away from half-time, just bring the boy down, tactical foul, and take the booking. Do you think we lack a bit of street smart in those types of scenarios?
We definitely lack nous, without a doubt. In those situations, we definitely lack people who have got a bit of experience upstairs. And what I'm trying to say with that is, Mikey Moore was definitely fouled. I watched it three or four times back. He gets elbowed. He goes down. Referee's literally 10 yards away. Starts running away from it. Doesn't even look at it. It was a clear 100% foul on Moore. There's not even any bias with me there. He gets fouled. The referee doesn't even look at it. And this is the consistency of VAR. They should be pulling that back, having a look at it, and saying to the ref, do you know what? I think you should have a wee look at this. Of course they could let it run and see, you know, if we get a tackle in further down the line, and, you know, they can let it run then. But when it goes to a scoring, you know, chance that they slot away, they've got to look at that. There's no consistency with it. Mm. And that's the biggest problem with this VAR. There's no consistency with the guys that's in the panels or the referees looking at things like that, because there's many of things went against us this season, as we all know. And it just, sometimes you raise an eyebrow and go, why are they not prepared to look at that? It's a nonsense. But you're 100% right. And I played football in midfield myself. And I'll tell you what, if that guy was running away from me 40 yards, right, I would have took a yellow card. I'd have been pulling his arm, or I'd have clipped his toes. And many midfield players that played for Rangers in the past, the likes of, I could go back to way back, even Graham Souness, that kind of type. Graham Souness for a half time. He would have absolutely half time. Terry Hullock for a half time.
I was thinking Kevin Thompson.
Stuart McCall, Ian Ferguson, Kevin Thompson, the list goes on. And this is what I'm saying about players that are just clever upstairs to go, do you know what? We're in the soup here, because they've got men over us. We're three against one if I don't pull him back here. We're three against two, it was at that point, to be fair. But yes, he should have took a yellow card. Disappointed with Chukwuane a wee bit there. I thought he was a bit more clever than that. I thought he could really have just dragged the boy back. See, at that time, I'd have just dragged him my left arm, just stop him. And take the yellow card, get everybody back behind the ball, take the free kick, take the yellow card. You go in at half time, 2-0 down as opposed to 2-1. Difference.
Yeah. I think for me, that just shows that this team still get a fair bit of learning to do. And that side of the game for me,
well, they have,
is one that I think we need to get better at. Just that cynical side of the game that. Every team that wins things, you know, they're good at it. You need that in your game at that level of football, you pretty much do
what you can to win games and get games over the line, particularly if you want to win leagues and you want to go and play for Glasgow Rangers every week. You have to do these things. And Souter, as you say, he got absolutely, you know, the boy cuts inside and leaves them for dead. And slots that way, he slots a good goal, to be fair. But Souter's way off it for me. I don't think he's just not for me.
Yeah, no, I agree. We get to half time, as you say, we go in 2-1 up instead of 2-0. Manager does make the changes. He brings off Scove Olsen. There was around him, there was, it's a Danish winger. If he does half as good as the last Danish winger that signed for Rangers will be onto some player. I had my worries around him because just of all the hype and all the expectation. And I think I said I was on the pod after his debut and I wasn't impressed and there was loads of mitigation. You know, it was his first game, he's still building up fitness, all that sort of stuff. And I kind of felt then that he's got all the hallmarks of an Aaron Ramsey signing, where we've kind of been, you know, dazzled by the name and the potential that's there and all that. And for me, he's just not cutting it. He's just not what we need. I know he's a winger, but also he's not, you know, he's not blistering pace. He's not going to go past a man. He doesn't seem particularly tricky or skillful. I'm sure he's got a cracking left foot, but he doesn't seem incredibly disappointed.
Well, I think anybody watching Rangers, I think we were all in agreement at the time. We thought, oh, this could be a really good loan. And it was a position that we've really lacked in, the right-hand side of midfield. I know he's left-footed and he tucks in. to be honest, there's a few games he started that I've raised my eyebrows that I thought, why is he starting them? He must see something in training that he does in training, and because you obviously we don't watch these guys every day, but see at the end of the day, it's about how you perform in matches. So you can do all the training you want, and you can score goals in training all you want. You can deliver crosses in training all day long, and you might look a world beat in training. And I think Asgard comes into that equation as well, although he did well yesterday. So, you know, I'll grant him a wee bit of space on that. But the manager must see something in him in training every day. But as I said, when you think of it, trying to win league titles, I think you have to look at your team performance. You obviously have to look at that player's performance and how he's performed in the games. Now, his performances in the games, for me, have been woeful. I don't think, yeah. I'll be honest with you, Cherney, for me, far better player than him.
He's
got more pace.
Yeah.
More pace. How they didn't sign him is beyond me, because he's got more pace. He's direct. He's got a lovely foot, Cherney. I would have Cherney over Olsen any day of the week.
Yeah.
However, that one's gone. But getting back to Olsen, for me, no. If they're talking about, you know, a clause in the contract, I know they paid a hefty fee for a loan deal, and I know he's on roughly about 25-30 grand a week. That's big money. And if you're paying that kind of money, you're looking for a better return than what he's producing. I think he's scored one goal. He's probably set up a couple of goals. I know he's flighted in a couple of crosses. But in reflection, if you actually analyse his whole performances over the minutes he's played, of nowhere near it for Glasgow Rangers. He lacks desire. Lacks a bit of desire for me. Is he going to, you know, when you're up against it, is he going to chase back and put a few tackles in? No chance. He lacks desire, heart, and as you touched on earlier, which I think is absolutely essential. If you're a wide player, not only do you need a bit of skill, you definitely need pace to get in behind. He doesn't get in behind any defender, take them on the outside, or, you know, just absolutely turn the screw and change your pace to pass people. I don't see it. He looks inside every time to play a little simple pass. I could do that, and I'm 52.
Yeah.
Play a pass inside 5 or 10 yards. I'd like to see a winger just, you know, and I'm sure the guys in midfield would love somebody just to run in behind for a slotting a ball in behind fullbacks and really turning defences. He'll not bring that to the table. So if they're talking about, you know, there's an opportunity, I know there's an opportunity to buy him for £9 million at the end of this, you know, loan deal. Now, I'm sorry. If Andrew Cavanagh's got £9 million in a pot and thinking about that, then I would be scrapping that straight away. The way Rangers Football Club have operated in the past, they have to be ruthless. And that means we get rid of the loanies that are not doing it. We have a look at the whole squad, the fringe players. And fringe players could be Gassamas, Bejramis, Ant-Man, send Olsen back. And there's a few more on the bench. Now, I'm sure if Andrew Cavanagh's got £9 million to look at getting Olsen, I'd be selling my fringe players who I've just mentioned, and I'd be putting the £9 million in the pot with what I get for those players I'm going to sell at the end of the season, and I would table a serious bid for Mikey Moore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for £9 million you want more, you know, significant. Not for me, to be honest.
No, totally agree.
Now, we get the third goal. It was another goal of the tap-in variety, where this time it was right place, right time after the cross came in to just knock it home. He's another one that, for me, needed that goal. He's been out of the team a bit recently before the Aberdeen game. He never made the Norway squad as well. a lot of fans not really seeing it with him. But I'll be honest, when you kind of made the comparison with him and Olsen there, but I think with Asgard though, I think you can see something. There's clearly ability there. He's clearly a talented player.
Yeah.
It just needs unlocked. I just feel like, see, if he could do everything he does at a higher tempo, and that doesn't mean that we're expecting him to have blistering pace. He just needs to move his feet a bit quicker, pass the ball a bit quicker, do everything at a higher tempo. I think he'd be a much better player.
Yeah.
But he can definitely contribute for me.
He's you can see he's got ability. There's no doubt the boys get quite a lot of what you call credentials that you go, has he got pace? He's got a wee turn of pace. Has he got strength? Strength in abundance. When he's got the ball, nobody's pushing him off the ball. He's a big, strong, physical boy. He's got good feet, as you've seen for the first goal yesterday. Slots past the player, no problem. He's got ability and technically very, very, very good. He was another player that I did question. I went, has he got enough desire? Does he want it enough? Does he understand that you have to work off the ball? It's not just when you get the ball. When he got the ball at times, I thought he was a bit slow and methodical, slowed the game down. So you're dead right. He needed to up the tempo and play at a faster pace. Just play two touch. And if you get space to run into it. He's done well in the last couple of games, to be fair. He might have turned a corner here. But he's one of them players who would frustrate the life out of me, because you know he's got every package. He's got the whole package. And the only thing for me is, when you play for Rangers, if you've not got aggression and you've not got work rate and you don't roll your sleeves up, your attitude and commitment's going to always be questioned. A, by the fans, and B, you know, your coach is going to say, I don't know if he does enough for me off the ball. That's the only question marks on Asgard. But if he could bring a little bit of consistency, and he's done that the last couple of games, because you don't play for Norway and you don't have the ability he's got and be a bad player. I totally agree what you said there. If it was a toss to the coin between him and Olsen, Asgard all day long. I think he's got more about him. Without a doubt, he's got more about him.
Yeah. Another moment that I wanted to chat to you about was Chermiti goes 1-on-1, chance to make it 4-1. For me, this is the issue with Chermiti for me, that whilst I thought he played quite well yesterday when he came on, I thought his hold-up play was well. I think he brings other players into play as well. I think there's been obvious improvement since Danny Rowe came in. I think we've seen, you know, goals against Celtic and Hearts. But, you know, for these types of chances, if you're the Rangers number 9, you need to be burying these types of chances. Like, you just need to be. It's just got to be part of the, you know, day-to-day work of a Rangers number 9.
Yeah. He's one of them players that we've all seen that you go, he scores worldies. And what I mean by that is, yes. And you know, there's a few players been like that over the years for different clubs, and you go, God, that was some goal. He scores absolute worldies. Can he score a tap in? No, he can't. You know, and it's madness to think. But Gassama actually played a ball into him yesterday. I watched it, and it was actually his first touch to let him down. His first touch was a wee bit behind him. But then he's still quick enough to get the second touch and think, right, I can get a shot off here. He was quick enough to get the shot off. I just think, like you touched on there, Brian, I just think his hold-up play is excellent. He's strong. He's a good runner. He's an athlete, the boy. Is he a number 9? I don't think he's a number 9. I don't think he's going to get his 25, 30 goals a season. He's probably going to get into double figures every season. I think he'll hit 10 or 15 goals without a question. Is he going to get you 25 or 30? Probably not. And that chance you just touched on there, if he had just a little bit of guile, just take a little touch. He's took that touch behind him, which actually gives him a bit of time to sort his feet out and get his shot off. And his choice of shot was completely wrong. in my view, a real quality number nine, where I just seen the keepers actually had a wee, he's already gone down. He could have just dinked him. A little lift, like a little Peter Beardsley. Kenny Dalglish was brilliant at it. They kind of players, just a little bit of composure in front of goal. He lacks that. And that's why I think I still think he's got a lot to bring to the table. I think he brings a lot of people into the play. And I just think it's about getting the right foil next to him. And that's the question, the next question Danny Rowe's going to have to ask. Is it going to be Ndiaye next to him? I'm not sure. Is it going to be Miofsky now? Or, you know, does he look at maybe just playing Moore off him? There's different wee options here. But he is frustrating. He is frustrating. He's another one that you go, God, look at him. He's an athlete. He's a massive boy. Strong as an ox. He's got pace. He's got a nice touch. It's just he lacks that little bit of composure in front of goal. Seems to snatch at things a few times. See if he just relaxes a wee bit in front of goal on those chances. They'd probably find he'd be on 20-odd goals a season.
Yeah. And as strange as this might sound, I actually think if we were to sell him in the summer, we'd make a profit on him, I think. Because I think he's got a lot of the raw attributes that your data analytics people look at and go, you know, we can get a player out of him. And I think that's essentially what Kevin Thirlwell said when he signed him. He looked at his data and he was like, you know, this guy's data is better than Calvert-Lewin, I think he said. And whether that might be true, you know, at Rangers and for a number nine, the only data we're really interested in is how many goals he's getting us. And it's not enough for us, but I think other teams will pay big money for him.
Unfortunately, in this life, in the football world, playing in the fishbowl at Ibrox, you're judged on goals as a centre forward. There's not many fans out there who'll sit and go, you know what? That boy's not lost a header today. He's held every ball up. He's not wasted many passes. Unfortunately, no people sit down and fit. They don't think like that. They just look at how many goals he's going to get, as you said. And that's just the part and parcel of being a striker at Ibrox. You're going to be judged on goals.
Another sloppy goal we conceded. We can never make this easy on ourselves. This one for me was sloppy all round. Again, there was another opportunity in the middle of the park to just shut it down and take the tactical foul. Again, we don't do it. It is a concern for you that in the last couple of games we've gotten ourselves two goals clear and we've somehow contrived to give the opposition a way back in through mostly our own sloppy play.
Yeah, we seem to be giving little sloppy goals away. And I believe this could be down to chopping and changing the back four. I think there's two. I know Romans was forced yesterday through injury. But the last few games, it's either Stellinger to have it right back, Suter coming in yesterday for that, you know, Fernandez. But if you actually look at the games where we were not conceding, it was Romans at left back, De Giga, Fernandez and Sterling who were keeping the clean sheets. And any clean sheets we've had, that's been a back four. And it's very evident when we don't play that back four, we seem to be a little bit slack. And one ball in behind the left back slot, in behind Magoma actually, which we spoke about earlier. He's a little bit naive. Sometimes he gets caught wrong side. He gets caught wrong side with the boy playing right midfield. Gets in behind him. Slots the ball in the box. And again, we're centre back. Suter's nowhere. No picking up. And possibly De Giga as well. A little bit wrong side. He gets caught getting sucked to the ball. However, he had no choice. He had to go and close that ball down because Magoma get outstripped for pace with the ball in behind him. So De Giga has to go and close that ball. That leaves the Suter, who's no marking. The centre forward that slots that away. And to be fair, Sterling could maybe have come across as well to double up. And maybe one of them mark. And maybe one of them try and cut out the cross, so to speak. But it's just a slack goal. A slack goal to lose. And just just poor defending again. But again, higher up the pitch, be a little bit clever, make a challenge, you know, stop the play. Again, just I think that's the one key area where Rangers have struggled this season, is lack of experience in certain situations.
Yeah. Now, for me, sitting at 3-2, Dundee United, right, they hit the post, and I'm sitting in Ibrox thinking, I've seen this movie before. This feels very much like something I've seen before, and it's going to be a late equaliser by Dundee United. I was fearing it. I'm pretty sure everyone sitting around me was fearing it. But to be fair to the team, we pretty much as soon as they hit the post, we kind of go up and break away and get the fourth goal, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But did we answer some questions on mentality there? I mean, Danny Rill really doesn't like his team's mentality being questioned. But for me, it's always going to be a question until you're waving shiny things at the end of the season. That for me, that's a true sign of a Rangers team's mentality, is when you're lifting the silverware at the end of the season. And until that is the case, then to me, the mentality question is always going to be there. But do games like yesterday, where, you know, it was looking a bit ropey at that point when they hit the post, does that go some way to the players kind of believing and going, right, you know, we've got the mentality here, we've got it in us here to ride these setbacks and come out the other end?
I think we've definitely improved in that area. Had that been a few months ago, I think the fans would really have been, you know, on the players' backs, and I think a few players would crumble under that pressure. I think with the new additions that have come into the team, Chikwani's of this world. I know Romans was injured yesterday, but he's been excellent recently. I think the new additions have added a wee bit more quality in terms of that. They don't seem to panic in situations, and we've definitely improved in that area. But what is pleasing is, Brian, at the moment, particularly at Ibrox, we're scoring goals. You know, I think the last couple of games at home we've scored, is that the last two games we've scored 9 goals, is it?
I think so.
4. And I don't play any games at Ibrox now thinking we're going to be under the cosh here. Even against Hearts and against Celtic, I thought we thoroughly deserved to win those games. Unfortunately, we couldn't put Celtic to bed. But I think we've got enough going forward now, especially with Mikey Moore. Options up front. I think the movement's good up front. I'll put it this way, I always see you scoring goals now.
I think that has improved massively.
And we've definitely been scoring a lot more goals at home. And I think, I'm hoping that continues. We've got another 6 games left now. And it's going to be an interesting time ahead, because I still think there'll be chops and changes. It would have been nice today if Celtic were, had a wee draw. But Celtic don't concern me. I don't think they're good enough to win the league. I know they scored in 86 minutes today. I think it's clearly between Rangers and Hearts now. And Hearts, obviously, blew up again yesterday, dropping 2 points away to Livingston. And we're only a point behind now. And Hearts, I believe, play Motherwell at home next Saturday, which I think will be a big test for Derek McInnes' team. Motherwell, really good side this season, play a lot of good football, and that will be a test for them. As it will be us, we're away to Falkirk on a Sunday, so that'll be a tough test away from home, an early kickoff. It's never a fancied game. That early kickoff always concerns me on a Sunday. I don't know why. But I just go, oh no, away game that early on a Sunday never bodes well. But Rangers, listen, it's as simple as this. Rangers need to get out and just keep winning game by game. And if it means winning ugly, take it. Right, we can worry about the way we play football next season when Danny Rill gets a full summer over him, a new transfer window. And I'm sure there'll be a few players offloaded and there'll be a couple of players come in. I don't think they're a million miles away from the team he wants. I think long term, we definitely need to look at probably replacing Jack Butland at some point. However, I think Jack's got easily another season in him. Right back and right midfield are definitely a problem. And that fox in the box, as we spoke about earlier, an Ali McCoy, Chris Boyd type player, we badly, badly need. And I'm sure Danny Rule, he'll know that himself. And I think he's wise enough to think that this season, I'm not worried about how we get over these games. If we can get 3 points every game, that's the main thing.
Yeah, now, I wonder if Miosky, who rounded off the scoring with actually a really good finish for the fourth goal, could be that goal scorer that we need. When I think about Wasmas 3 in a row team, right, which was my team growing up, right, I always remember that there was always one or two players that would come at the back end of the season, would hit for them. You had players like Velishka, who I think he got a few goals towards the back end of one season that pushed us over the line. You had Kyle Lafferty, who was famous for it.
Yeah.
His form at the back end of seasons. I remember DeMarcus Beasley coming in towards the end of one season as well and contributing quite well. You always had one or two players towards the end of a season that would almost come out of the cold, that were seen as a bit of unfancied, but would come in towards the end of the season and really contribute. We've spoken about Asgard before, who I think could fall into that category, but also Miovsky, who's proven that he can score goals in this league.
Yeah.
I actually think he's got a better left. He's got a better left foot than I thought. He's got a really good left foot on him, Miovsky. Do you think he could be a good foil for Chomiti?
I think he is. I think he's obvious. For me, I think he's the obvious choice to play off Chomiti. I just think he's, out of the three centre forwards we've got, I think he's the most accomplished in terms of taking chances like he took yesterday. He seems quite cool. And as we touched on Chomiti 2 minutes ago, in terms of just being a little bit composed, I think Miosky's really composed in front of goal. I think he takes chances really well. He doesn't panic. He's got a nice left foot. And he slotted that goal lovely yesterday. And to be fair to Chomiti took a wee run. He went on a wee 10 or 15 yard run. And passes a lovely ball into Miovsky on the edge of the 18 yard box. And he took one touch and he slotted it away lovely. Boy's a good finisher. I just think in his games under his belt. And for me, personally, be playing Miovsky off Chomiti on the run-in, I would go with those two. And I'd maybe use Ryan Nadiri as a, you know, if Chomiti's not doing it, play him as a focal point. I noticed the other week there, and I was questioning this with Danny Rule, if he was playing Chomiti and Ryan Nadiri up front, and he was actually playing Chomiti as a top striker. And what I mean was that he was the highest up, and Nadiri was almost playing like a number 10.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not really sure if Ryan Nadiri's got that in his locker. Yeah. Is he going to drop short? Has he got enough pace? Has he got enough guile? His touch? Is he a clever enough player to play a 10 role? And I'm thinking, it might actually work the bit the other way around. Because he's quite tall. He's quite a presence, Nadiri. I think he, you know, answered them. Now, the other player you could bring into contention, which would mean he'd float behind, would be Mikey Moore. You could play him behind Chomiti. Mikey Moore could play anywhere across that line.
Yeah.
The problem you've got is who's going to play left midfield or come in for the left flank. That's the issue. But getting back to your original question, who would I play up front for Rangers? I'd play Nadiri. Chomiti up front. And I would play definitely Miovsky off him. I think Miovsky's a better finisher. I think he'll get more goals than Ryan Nadiri, for certain.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Before we finish up, Jamie, given the results today, Hearts obviously dropping points, how does this leave the title race in your mind? Are you confident that we can get over the line? Are you still not too sure? Do you see it going to the last day of the season? That's got three potential destinations. on the last day of the season? How do you see it?
I think that's very, it's very possible, the way teams are playing at the minute. I touched on Celtic a minute ago. I don't really see Celtic being... I don't fear Celtic at all. When I look at their squad and I look at our squad, we have definitely got the best squad in this division. There's no doubt in my mind about that. We're well equipped. We've got good options off the bench. Whereas I don't think Hearts and Celtic, for me, have got that strength and depth that we've got. So I think we're in a real good position here. And Hearts have obviously dropped points yesterday. They'll be feeling the pressure now. I think they'll really become squeaky bum time for them now. And going, I know they're at home, obviously, next week to Motherwell. And that could be a real test for them. And I think with them dropping points yesterday against the team that were bottom of the league, as in Livingston, I think the confidence at Hearts will be short a wee bit now. And I can see us really taking advantage of that. And if we go and beat Falkirk next Sunday, we would go top of the league going into the split. The only advantage Celtic have got, obviously, and Hearts have got, is we've got to go to their place. But it's as simple as this. You've got to go to these places and just take 3 points and go and beat these people, you know, and beat what's in front of you. But I think Rangers are in a real strong position. And if somebody was to say to me, who would you go and put a bet on to win the league now? It would definitely be Glasgow Rangers.
Yeah. For me, the thing that gives me confidence is looking at it now, I wouldn't swap our position for either of the other two, even Hearts, who sit 1 point ahead of them. I'd still rather be in our position right now with our squad and our momentum. For me, we've got the momentum. I think if you look at the form table, we're ahead at the minute. We're creating chances and scoring goals at the right time. And I think if we continue on that trajectory, then for me, it's all there for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully that turns out to be the case. Right, I think we'll call it time there. All that's left for me to do is thank my guest, Jamie.
What I will say, Brian, before we go, what I would like to say is my wee lads team, Bonnet and Thistle from Kilmarnock, were down at Blackpool at the weekend and they won the Blackpool Cup. So I'm hoping that gives us a wee bit of silverware, and the next silverware is the league title coming to Ibrox. That would be fantastic. So well done to Bonnet and Thistle.
To them. Yes.
Fantastic.
Well done. Hopefully that's the first silverware that you'll see. First of the first this season, and another one on the way, hopefully.
Oh, I hope so.
As well as being live tonight, the show will be available on all podcasting platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Acast and Stitcher. We'll be back on Friday. It'll be Rob and Colin that'll be with you to look ahead to a trip to Falkirk. Until next time, bye for now.